It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. It's Keith McPherson on the Fan. 1019 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Paulie said the mic's working. The mic is working tonight. Good. All right. One of those nights, as I'm driving in and I'm looking at the sunset over New York City, orange and blue skies. I know that's a Knicks term, but if you've ever been to Citi Field and seen the sunset in the background, I don't know, man. Maybe it's a sign as I walk in here, the Mets go up 4-0. Everything seems to be going their way, but we have plenty of time tonight to take calls from the Mets fans reacting to this one as we're in the top of the seventh. Keith McPherson on the Fan, a 5-hour KM to AM. We're going to kill some time and talk about the Jets. Yikes. I really didn't want to believe this was the same old Jets this year. When Aaron Rodgers went to Egypt and everybody made a big fuss about that. Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friends. Some Jets fans started singing it, not knowing what it was. And they will keep on singing it forever just because. Got my voice back from yelling at Yankee Stadium a little bit. We're going to keep singing this Aaron Rodgers song. And I start with Aaron Rodgers and not Rob Saleh because that was like the first little inkling of like, okay, A-Rod, he doesn't like how that was handled. The head coach didn't handle that the way that the quarterback head coach GM in Aaron Rodgers would have liked. Aaron Rodgers spent so much time around the team when he came back from the Achilles, really, I think, for his own selfish reasons, but whatever, he was still around the team when he didn't need to be. And then when we come into this season, I remember my first take on it was, you guys are worried about where Aaron Rodgers is. Where is Hassan Reddick? 888-808-1019, as today Woody Johnson is pleading for Hassan Reddick to get in the car from Philadelphia, Philadelphia Bull, Temple, Philadelphia Eagles. Pleading for him to get in the car and drive down 95 to the New York Jets so they could meet him and escort him right into the building. He's looking for the money. He's looking for the contract. Oh, man, it's just like, for Jets fans, I thought this was a year where you could start off 5-0 in theory. It's never theoretical. It's never what you think. It's never what you hope and want. And unfortunately, they fire Rob Saleh today, and it's just a bad look. You know how this goes in the NFL. Nobody ever fires their coach week 5 after 5 games. Nobody ever fires their coach that early and find success. No one ever fires their coach that early and hires an interim head coach that's already in the building and all of a sudden he just leads them to the Super Bowl. I also remember telling y'all, take Super Bowl out of your mouth. It should be to end the drought. I do believe that this change here could lead to the Jets ending the drought, maybe winning the division, maybe being a wild card. And that's why I feel like they had to do it. 888-808-1019. Oh, boy. Woody Johnson. When I heard Quincy Williams after the London game say, you know, and the question had nothing to do with this, but Quincy Williams got straight to it. Tired of hearing the same stuff, man. People need to be accountable from top to bottom. I think Woody heard that. He felt that. I think that coming from one of your best players, you don't want to lose that guy. So there's a lot of talk today about losing the locker room. I don't know if Rob Saleh lost the locker room yet, but he might have lost one of his best players on defense, and I definitely think he lost Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't get the blame for throwing those three interceptions. Nobody wants to blame Aaron Rodgers. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers on this station all day, every day, it seems like, for too long, for no results. We even changed the number to 888-808. Put all those eights because this is the Aaron Rodgers hotline for people to call up and either proclaim that he's going to lead them to the promised land and, oh, he's coming back from the Achilles. Oh, he's running for vice president. Oh, he's on Pat McAfee. Yep, canceled the Pat McAfee appearance. Devontae Adams canceled his appearance on Kay Adams' show. I mean, at this point, you shouldn't trade for Devontae Adams now. He can't fix this. You could have fixed this last year when the team sputtered out. And I remember being on the fan talking about, okay, you go from losing your quarterback. The Jets were the first team to lose their quarterback four plays in. And last year was the year of the backup and the backup's backup. Across the street, Giants lose Daniel Jones. Tyrod Taylor plays. Tommy DeVito plays and finds success through coaching, through being coached up. Game plans, being prepared to go out there and play. After what I saw from Brian Daboll this past week, I tweeted out, they're not tanking and they're not firing this head coach. I remember calling Daboll out saying, you shouldn't sleep until you get that first win. Then when you get that first win, the second win's got to be on your mind. They're going to be dogs. They're not going 0-7, 0-6. They're going to be dogs. But you know what? Any given Sunday. I just heard Loogie talking about any given Sunday, Willie Beeman, something like that. I didn't catch all of it when I was on my way. And any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. And this year in the NFL, it seems that way, which is even more reason why the Jets had to say, yo, this guy's a cheerleader. Yo, this guy's along for the ride. Yo, this guy statistically is the worst coach in the NFL over the last 4 years. And you could have changed that at the end of last year when coaches like Kevin Stefanski are calling Joe Flacco off the couch. And he's able to lead the Browns to the playoffs. Jake Browning is able to step in for the Bengals and have success. Anthony Richardson goes down. Gardner Minshew steps up. Just think about all the backup quarterbacks that played last year and teams that were able to still find ways to win with backups. Meanwhile, the Jets just took L's and the head coach just supported a quarterback that we all knew was terrible. We all knew Zach Wilson was terrible. The number one thing I used to hate about Zach Wilson, sorry to, you know, throw you under the bus again, Zach, was how he would never extend plays. As athletic as he was and how strong of an arm he had, he would always stone a play, kill a play, never extend a play, quit on a play. Oh, it's not there, I'm done. It's not there, throw the ball in the dirt, throw it away. What are you doing? Trying to move the ball down the field. Stop taking no gains. That's coaching, man. Because I know if I'm a coach in the film room, I'm saying, Zach, don't do that again. I don't want to see you do it again. I watched Zach Wilson throw the ball into the dirt when a defender was running away from him. Run! Use your legs. Anyway, you guys knew this. We all knew this. Nobody's shocked. And you can point to a Lebanon flag on the guy's sleeve. I don't think that's it. I know it could be part of it. But ultimately, as a head football coach in the NFL, you have to be a leader of men. And I don't know who's going to run the steps anymore. I don't know who's going to do that. This guy started off on the wrong foot. He said he was keeping receipts. Now the receipts say in your 4 years as head coach, and you will not be a head coach in the NFL again, you went 4-13, 7-10, 7-10, 2-3. You got fired before week 6. That's a hell of a receipt. But I honestly wish him the best, Rob Saleh. He's a father of like 6 or 7 kids, I believe. He's got the rest of the season off, year off. Those checks are going to still cash. Go be with your family and don't be in this mess because the Jets were a mess long before you showed up. 888-808-1019. They're still a mess. This might not solve everything. Aaron Rodgers is old, man. And that's also why there's urgency on this. Because Aaron Rodgers is getting beat up. And if they don't win games, we don't know. Tyrod Taylor is going to be quarterbacking this team. You saw how he was on the ground last week. Ankle. You saw how he got beat up in the rain against the Broncos. This season of Super Bowl expectations, this season of, you know, Woody Johnson telling you it's the most talented team we've ever had. Well, yeah, everybody's got talent in the NFL. The difference is the coaching. Nathaniel Hackett is also along for the ride. Nathaniel Hackett got called out by Sean Payton last year. And yet, you were able to go and beat Sean Payton in his first year out in Denver. But he took his team to a country club somewhere in West Virginia, brought them up to East Rutherford, and Bo Nix was ready to go toe-to-toe with you guys enough to the point where you end up losing that game. And that had to piss the owner off because that's not supposed to happen. I mean, they're putting out all the stats. Through week five in 2023, the New York Jets scored 93 points. Week five in 2024, the Jets scored 93 points. Aaron Rodgers, what's going on? Hassan Reddick, what's going on? Nathaniel Hackett, what's going on? I don't know what to believe, honestly, because reports are saying that Rob Saleh was going to take Nathaniel Hackett's spot away. I mean, remember when we were in the offseason and supposedly they were looking to hire someone above Nathaniel Hackett? Your offensive coordinator, you need somebody to hire above him in the chain of command? It's a mess. It is a mess. But I really hope for the Jets fans that they come out on the other side of this, because you are coming up against a Bills team that you've been able to get the best of when you weren't at your best. A Bills team that we just saw fold. Talk about coaching. I don't know what the hell Sean McDermott was doing at the end of that game. A Bills team that has to come to your building on Monday Night Football and the whole world will be watching again. And the storylines write themselves. 888-808-1019. So it's time. It's time for Breece Hall to run the ball. It's time for Keith Carter to have a better plan. This whole coaching staff, and I really hope former NFL player, former linebacker, played for the Niners, Jeff Olberg, I hope Jeff is ready. I hope he's ready. I hope he's ready to lead. I hope he's ready to change the tone, hold people accountable. You guys knew that cadence stuff was ridiculous, man. Like, we're talking about the NFL. We're talking about guys not being able to hold their water. Guys, multi-million dollar guys not being able to just hold their water, jumping off sides. It's a joke. The penalties, it's a joke. They are unprepared. I remember getting on air last year talking about, give me a couple things that this head coach does that make him a good head coach. You can't tell me he's a good defensive mind. He's a defensive guru. What? I've seen that defense get ran through. What? He's not the defensive coordinator. He's the head coach. The head coach is supposed to have his hands in everything. Kind of like Brian Daboll said, it starts with me, it ends with me. It's all on me. So now he's out of there, and I don't think he'll ever be a head coach again. And I'd like to hear the reaction of the Jet fan. I think most Jets fans celebrated this, but you can't celebrate it as a win because we don't know where you're going next. We don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to hold up all season. We don't know if this is going to change the offense. We don't know if you're going to be able to beat the Buffalo Bills. Are the Bills going to lose three in a row? We don't know. But I think, at least for the Jets fans that were tired of looking at Rob Saleh, deer in the headlights, just non-effective, a non-factor, a guy that was more of a cheerleader than a coach. Like, you see Brian Daboll, and I'm sorry to keep pointing to the Giants, but they share the stadium. You see Brian Daboll, clips of Brian Daboll in Seattle coaching his ass off. Give that guy a break after week one. They're calling for his job. They're asking about his job status. That guy is a coach. That guy knows what he's doing, knows what he's talking about. When he gets the horses and actually gets a quarterback, you know, no shot at Daniel Jones because he played better, but Daboll deserves to have his own quarterback to develop and bring up. Then you might actually see it. 888-808-1019. So we'll start with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end. I don't know what to believe. Don't tell me he didn't know or whatever. Like, you can't tell me that Aaron Rodgers just gets blindsided by this. That's what you tell the media. Joe Douglas, Woody Johnson, Rob Saleh is the fall guy, and he should be the fall guy. He's the head coach. The team hasn't performed, and they can't waste another year. They literally can't waste this year. They have to end the drought, the longest drought in American professional sports, without getting to the playoffs. They have too much talent, have too many fans. They got to find a way to get to the playoffs. When you look at this NFL where there's a lot of mid, there's a lot of average, there's a lot of upsets any given Sunday. So 888-808-1019, we'll start there with the Jets calls. Antoine Staley will join me at 7:45 to talk Jets. He covered it all day. He's been with the team these last few years. He's on the inside. And after we come back, we'll take your calls. We'll go to him. And I'm sure sometime around 8:39, this Mets game will be over.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll give you my thoughts on that, and then we'll take your calls. It's one of those nights in the city again. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM, returns right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This is the postseason. It's the most wonderful time. To my Yankee fans that aren't having the most wonderful time, it's okay. It's okay. This isn't the time for fair weather fans. You might hear some fair weather fans on the Fan. You might hear some fans on the Fan that put garbage bags on their heads and are ready to tank after week one or delete their Twitter accounts after their team's season ends. Like, just never mind that goofiness. Some people are just natural clowns. You just got to ignore that, right? You got to ignore people that say to bench guys that you're literally going nowhere without. Like, imagine if the Mets benched Pete Alonso and destroyed his confidence. They wouldn't be here right now up 7-0 against their division rival Philadelphia. In front of their fans, a packed house, OMG signs and Grimace costumes everywhere. And I know the Yankee fan is tired of it. I know the Yankee fan doesn't want to see it. But let people enjoy things. We share this city, man. The Mets have been bums forever. It really doesn't bother me. It really doesn't affect me. It's OD. Like, when you see a video of McDonald's bringing the Grimace mascot to jump on the 7 line, it's like, all right, yo. But the team is backing it up. The team has gone out there. They've gone up 7-0 right now. So we'll get to the Mets fans in a little bit, but I opened up with the Jets fans. One and the same a lot of times. And I want to hear from you guys at 888-808-1019 before we break and bring in my guy Antoine Staley, who covers the Jets for the New York Daily News. Grayson in Cromwell, Connecticut on the Fan. What's up? What's up, Grayson?
Nothing. What's up?
You know, hosting the show.
I just wanted to ask, you know, what do you think about the Davante Adams rumors? And do you think that Saleh getting sacked is going to affect any trade talks if they're happening?
I certainly think it could slow that up. Thanks for the call. I certainly think that that's not the biggest thing right now. That shouldn't be the number one priority right now. It's kind of crazy. You know, you fire the coach, and it's the owner that fired the coach. So if the GM was working on a Davante Adams trade, who knows, man? I know Davante would absolutely help the team, but I just got to think that, like, Davante Adams is trying to make, you know, a move somewhere, and I know he doesn't get to make the move, but it's like, would he want to join this right now? And are the Jets in a position, and Jets fans, think about this. Are the Jets in a position to give up anything with their future? Because if this season doesn't work out, and Aaron Rodgers is cooked and can't come back for another year or retires or is just hurt and not effective, like, you're looking at another rebuild. You need another quarterback. You need those draft picks. And, like, they might fire your GM. So, like, are you really in a position right now to give up even a second-round pick? I don't know. I don't know. It might be something that you got to kind of table for now until you see how the team comes out there and plays. But, you know, rumors are that Devontae wants this to get done and the Raiders want it to get done. And that's the other side of it. The Raiders don't have to send him to the Jets. They might want to send him to New Orleans and the Saints. Lou is in Astoria. Lou, you're on the Fan. Go for it.
Hey, Keith. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right.
I mean, you play the game. Who's responsible for Robert Saleh get fired? This quarterback, which is amazing, the greatest thing on earth, should have won those two games. He used to get blamed. Would Saleh still have his job? He would have won the last two games?
Yeah. I think if he won the Broncos game and lost the London game, he'd still have his job. It's hard for me to not think that Aaron Rodgers is the maestro. We've seen this so many times. I heard Evan talking about the Brooklyn Nets. Like, we've seen this so many times. When there are established players that don't respect the coach, they can get them up out of there.
Keith, when he was an MVP playing for a great team like the Green Bay Packers, okay, when they came to the playoff, he never got it done, okay? He won one Super Bowl. I never forget when he plays against the Giants. But the Giants, I mean, they were lucky that, I mean, he played lousy.
He's not what everybody thought. He's not MVP Aaron Rodgers. He's not like that. The three interceptions that he threw, you can't put that on Nathaniel Hackett. You can't put that on, like, he does not look the same. He looks different than he's ever been. Worse than he's ever been.
Let me tell you something. I discussed this with you, and you disagree with me, but I understand why. Then Baker Mayfield was available. Instead, they picked this guy instead of Baker Mayfield. This guy, Mayfield, I can never remember the last time he didn't score 20 points. Can you imagine with the defense of the Jets have a quarterback giving 20 points per game? And that's what's been done since the last two or three years. And you know what? We're not going to get a coach either. Because Belichick is not going to come here because Roger is a crybaby. He wants to do what he wants to do. He's not going to listen. This guy is not made for New York.
Thanks for the call, Lou. I mean, who would want to come here and coach with Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers and the mess that it is? I'm telling you, I don't think that this guy is giving you the 4 years that he said he was going to. It's all talk. His play and his body are declining. It's this year or nothing. So all that Super Bowl talk, it's not Super Bowl. He's got to get this team to the playoffs, and the urgency just ticked up a level. That's why they fired Rob Saleh. And as far as, like, Baker Mayfield goes or Derek Carr, remember they were trying to get Derek Carr too? They were set on this. They were set on Aaron Rodgers, and he got hurt four plays in. And I don't know, man. There's something with the universe and karma and other things, but Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end. And I heard a Packers fan call into BT and Sal and say, I told you the circus was coming to town. Here we are. Got a coach fired. And regardless of reports of him not knowing, you can't tell me that. You can't tell me that Woody just came in. And I heard Woody say something along the lines like, I've got a lot of experience with this. Yeah, you got a lot of experience losing. So we can't say that you have a lot of experience making winning decisions.
Yeah, the weird part is, and it's weird and it's sad, that if Greg Zuerlein makes a 50-yard field goal, and if Garrett Wilson doesn't drop a few passes, they're three or four plays away from being 4-1.
If they gave the ball to beast mode, we could do that all day. Like, at the end of the day, like, why wasn't Braylon Allen getting the ball? At the end of the day, why are your guys taunting? At the end of the day, how many illegal procedures have the Jets racked up? If you watch them play over the years of the Rob Saleh tenure, that's all they do.
At the end of the day, the reason Robert Saleh got fired wasn't because he's a bad head coach, and he might be, but the main reason is the players have sucked this year. Breece Hall has sucked. Garrett Wilson has sucked. Aaron Rodgers has sucked. Sauce Gardner has sucked.
So you have to shake the room.
You obviously can't fire all the players. Obviously.
You shake the room and you raise the level of urgency by removing the leader who might not have really been a leader. After the first win that they got against the Patriots, I try not to be the guy to come in and be like, this is a Patriots team that people said wouldn't win a game. Speaking of, the Patriots are now going to Drake May as their QB1. Why not? Bo Nix is out there balling. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. People are talking about him as MVP. Go ahead. Throw the kid out there with no offensive line. But, yeah, I was trying not to come on air and be the guy to be like, yo, they are riding high off of beating the Patriots.
It's weird that.
And the Titans with Will Levis. And then they got caught sleeping against the Broncos. There's another narrative about how unprepared the team is when they do have extra rest, when they do have a Thursday night football game and have extra time to prepare for a rookie quarterback. How do you not show up? Don't tell me it was raining. Those are excuses.
I also think it's important to mention that the Broncos and the Vikings are two of the top five defenses in the league. So it's important to couch the framing of the offense has been awful. Aaron Rodgers has been awful. The last two games, they've gone up against monster defenses.
Yeah, and you have a quarterback that reads defenses just as good as any other quarterback that's seen every coverage, that tells linebackers and safeties what they're going to do, that he's supposed to know all that stuff. He's supposed to know where to go with the ball. He's kind of short-arming balls and forcing throws and not so confident.
And he's not on the same
page
with anyone. And it's weird. They almost have made Robert Saleh a sympathetic figure today. Because I think there's a majority of Jets fans who actually don't think he should have been fired. Or they think if you were going to make a change in the offseason and go hire Mike Vrabel.
Yes, when Vrabel was available, and now he's got to look at Deshaun Watson every day in Cleveland.
Now, again, I don't know if players play harder if it's Mike Vrabel. I don't know if Sauce Gardner continues to make the same penalty to Justin Jefferson over and over again, or if that's on him.
A video from last year where I was talking about how Mike Vrabel, the Titans were out of it, but he was motivating them to play spoiler. The Jets never played spoiler. They were a doormat. They just felt sorry for themselves. Aaron Rodgers is coming back to save us. Aaron Rodgers is coming back to save us. Aaron Rodgers is here. He can't save you. In Clifton Park, New York, Mike is on the fan. Go for it, Mike.
Hey, Keith. How's it going? Listen, I'm a Giants fan, but of course I followed the Jets for like a long time. And this has been the franchise that GMs and quarterbacks and coaches go to die. I mean, it's crazy. You go to the Jets, and then all of a sudden, you don't hear from them anymore. They get fired, and then they disappear. And, there's some odd things, I mean, Douglas has never had a winning team, a winning season, but he gets celebrated when he makes a good trade or makes a good draft pick, but it never equals to winning, like, ever. It's like the oddest thing, the oddest culture, and the thing with Rodgers too, now when you look back, his last year at Green Bay, he had a losing season, and you wonder if that was really the beginning of the end of things, because he doesn't look like the same quarterback. And even if he was healthy last year, really, what quarterback were you going to get now?
Thanks for the call, Mike. I mean we knew that. Like, it was so obvious that the Packers wanted nothing to do with this guy. Their GM is going out and telling Wisconsin media, we already made our decision. Because he was a diva over there. He was walking around like he was King Tut over there. He was walking like he was something he was not. They were done. They've been done since they drafted Jordan Love. He goes out and wins some MVPs. Did he win the Super Bowl? Did he get to the Super Bowl? No. He was immunized. This guy, I tried to give it a rest because I know I was definitely one of the main haters. Talking about Rodgers and his Jedi mind tricks. How his Jedi mind tricks don't work on me. I see through it. And you know what? I thought actually this year, when they put a drive together to take the lead against the San Francisco 49ers, when they fought back against the Titans and got the win, when they actually put on the main stage Thursday night football and dominated the Patriots, I'm like, okay, maybe there is something here. But you know what? Injuries make a coward of everyone on the football field. If you've ever put a helmet on, you understand that. I know last night I was talking about, some people never actually competed. So they look at Aaron Judge and they think, oh, he's terrible. Bench him. Oh, you got to drop him in the lineup. It's hard to do. It's extremely hard to hit that baseball in a packed house in front of your fan base, your fans, where the narrative is that you just can't get it done in the postseason. 888-808-1019. So when I say injuries make a coward out of everyone on the field, when you're not 100% and you're not yourself, you're throwing three interceptions. When you're not 100% and you're not yourself, you're not thinking as clear. You're not as strong as you need to be out there on the field because you're worried about being hurt. Let's go to Gerard and Old Bridge on the fan. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith, how's it going?
It's going.
I think I'll be 44 this year, and so I'm probably going to Jet games close to 30 years now. And it really becomes difficult to root for a team when you see the same narrative for 30 years. And it's not so much that, it's more the fact that they're in such disarray, just from top down. You look at, I mean, you're a Cowboys fan, and people joke, but listen, at least Jones, he's the man. And he's produced winning teams. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl in a while, but listen, you look at their overall record winning team. Pittsburgh Steelers have had three coaches in the last 40 years. Winning team.
Culture matters. Your culture matters, and it does start from the top all the way down, from the owner all the way down to the equipment managers.
Even the Giants. You know, the Giants had, like, the old gentleman owners, you know, where they were present. But you know what? They carried themselves with a bit of class. And I'm a Jet fan, believe me. But they do. And you know what? Giants had George Young for how long? And, you know, this constant changing of coaches. That's where the culture is. I mean, it's really frustrating.
Thanks for the call. It's about having a standard. The end. Woody Johnson, it starts with him. They backed Zach Wilson for way too long. They backed Rob Saleh for way too long. They're going to back Aaron Rodgers for way too long. Robbie's in Brooklyn on the fan. Go for it, Robbie.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
I'm okay.
First thing I want to say is let's go Yankees.
Let's go Yanks. I'm going to get there tonight. We're going to have that conversation. I had it last night.
Now I'd like to talk about Robert Saleh.
Mm-hmm.
I said it from day one. He was not the guy for the job. Every single quarterback that played under Robert Saleh ended up face down in the turf, and the only one that got back up to fight was Zach Wilson because the rest of them couldn't get up. You look at Joe Flacco, he got destroyed. And then when Flacco went to another team, he had two good seasons. It's because Robert Saleh called the same plays over and over again, and everybody in the stadium, everybody on that field, knows what plays he's going to call.
He doesn't call the plays, but I hear you, Robbie. Thanks for the call. I'm up against the break here. We got to go get my guy, Antoine Staley. He doesn't call the plays, but he also doesn't step in to say anything. Like, he also doesn't, you know, influence the play calling. It's almost like he's, you know, completely hands-off with the offense. No, I can't tell him, hey, give the ball to Braylon Allen. I can't tell him, hey, let's run this personnel. I can't tell him, hey, this is what we got to focus on. Let's go away from this. He's got to be the overruling guy. He's got to have the final say. He is the head coach, or he was. 888-808-1019. Jets fans will get to you. I want to bring in Antoine. He covers the Jets. If you follow him on Twitter, he's been tweeting about this stuff all day. So I will ask him a few questions, and he'll fill us in as a guy that's been with the team, been in the building, and has seen all this stuff firsthand. Paul, you got anything before we break? No, you're good? I mean, the Mets are one out away from the bottom of the eighth here, up 6-0. I guess one of those runs came back.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Yeah, just one of the, I think one of the Fugazi ump things happened, and it was rounding third or whatever.
Okay, either way.
Yeah, six nothing.
The Phillies are cooked. I will never root for Philadelphia, ever. So
that's the one thing we can all agree on.
Yeah, there's not a single Philadelphia thing that I want to prosper. So, like, I am laughing at this. Even though I am, you know, over the whole OMG grimace stuff, it's not for me. The look of it, the whole, even the like Citi Field block party, I'm like, I couldn't be further away from that.
I think we spoke about this. I was never in for it. At this point, this is now just that they are just a very, very good team at this point. They are catching fire at the exact right time. Is it the Diamondbacks from last year? They are right. This is not OMG or Grimace. They are just right now gelling.
They are
so
the prototype.
Well.
When you talk about this new format and people cry and complain about this new format, the Mets are the prototype team to run right through this thing. I hate to say it, but you know it. I know it. If you're a baseball fan and you've been watching this and you're crying about, oh, well, the Yankees had a week off. Well, the Mets were road warriors for a week. Now they're back home. They are free. They are comfortable. They have the backing of their entire fan base. Look at this.
It might actually be better for teams to not clinch that early and just play playoff games the last week and a half. So everything's going. It's so crazy to think about.
It is crazy because then they'd have to change the format again. All right, we got a break. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB. Oh, Paulie, I should have had you play Reservoir Dogs. Joining us right now, covering your New York Jets for the New York Daily News, it's Antoine V. Staley. What's up, Twan?
Hey, what's going on? That Reservoir Dogs is a two-bit vulgar for the radio, so I don't know if you can play that on there.
Yeah, I got the instrumental in the folder. I might have to cue that up after you're done. So, obviously, man, let's start with where you were, what you were thinking, what you were doing today when the news breaks that Rob Saleh has been relieved of his duties as Jets head coach.
What I was doing, I was playing NCAA 25, finish up my dynasty for the week, and because I need to play a game by the night, and then all of a sudden, I got the news via text message that Saleh had been fired, and I was like, wow, okay, I definitely didn't see this coming, especially considering I just wrote a story on Monday saying why the Jets shouldn't fire Robert Saleh, the benefit, it wouldn't be any benefit to that. So, yeah, it was definitely a surprise to not only me, but a lot of people in that building.
Yeah, there were some kind of rumors swirling around. I know Evan Roberts had the same take that the Jets will not and should not do this, but they did it anyway. And I feel like when heads have to roll, a message is being sent, and I said that they needed to shake the room. You need to shake the locker room. The locker room actually already was probably shaken a little bit by the results of the last couple weeks. And I point the finger at Quincy Williams in a good way because he's a guy that goes out there and lets his play do the talking. But when he got the opportunity in front of the mics and cameras, he said, I'm tired of hearing the same stuff. Honestly, who repeats the same stuff year after year, week after week? We literally have heard this guy, Rob Saleh, say the same things in press conferences over and over and over again. And he said, people need to be accountable from top to bottom. And I think Woody Johnson heard that, felt that, and said something's got to be done.
Yeah, hey, we spoke to Woody today. He had to talk to the leadership council of the Jets, which, you know, involves people like C.J. Mosley. Obviously, Aaron is involved in that, too. He spoke to Aaron on a separate occasion. Apparently, it was not about Robert Saleh. You can believe whatever you want to. I'm not telling people one way or the other, although I have my feelings. But the fact of the matter is, Woody spoke to multiple people about potentially firing Robert Saleh. Ultimately, it was his decision since he was the owner and decided to just go through with it. But, yeah, I mean, I think he started to saw the seeds being planted, especially after the Vikings game, another frustrating loss for the Jets. And then you had Quincy Williams come out there and say that. I thought that was very telling, considering Quincy is not a guy that just says stuff like that just randomly. He's a guy that's, you know, very thoughtful with what he has to say and also a leader in that locker room. And I think a lot of people, you know, listen to that, especially a lot of fans.
How much do you think the urgency of playing the Bills next and looking at this division where the Patriots just went to their rookie quarterback, Tyler Huntley, Snoop Huntley, is playing for the Miami Dolphins, and I don't know how effective he's really going to be. Like, how much do you think the urgency of where they are and potentially winning the division played into the fact of, like, all right, we've gone long enough with Rob Saleh. We know he's not the guy. We're done pretending. Something's got to happen right now.
I think they're staring a rebuilding phase, another rebuilding phase in the face. So I think for them, it's kind of like, let's just try one more dist attempt to try to prevent that. And then try to, you know, make the playoffs and try to do something to compete a championship. Because you look at it, Aaron is not getting any younger. He's definitely not the same player that he used to be. But you want to do things that can help him and provide it, like, you know, have an adequate running game. Also block for him, catch footballs, not drop, you know, passes that, you know, that could be caught and, you know, be recorded for touchdowns. So you got to be able to help him out in this sense, too. And I think some of the play calling that Nathaniel Hackett has demonstrated the first 5 weeks or even last season has been very, you know, bland and vanilla. And, you know, it might be time to change that up. But according to at least Jeff Albright, no decision has been made on that. Although there's been rumors out there that Saleh was definitely considering a, you know, offensive coordinator, you know, at least the play caller change to go from him from Ty Downing, which I don't know if that would have changed, you know, the trajectory of the Jets, but it would have been a new voice definitely in Aaron's ear.
Yeah, I talk about the Mets have nine lives. Nathaniel Hackett has nine lives. He's still counting checks from the Denver Broncos. How does he survive all of this? When we saw last year, he didn't have a clue. And he even told us, right? Even the fact that he said, oh, he didn't know what Breece Hall had, what he had in Breece Hall. Now it seems like he can't scheme up any type of run plays to get him out in the open field. And now him and Rodgers, you can tell, like, Rodgers is trying to hurry up the personnel coming in and the play call. It's like, how does Nathaniel Hackett survive all this? Is it really just the relationship that he has with Aaron Rodgers that he's safe?
Yeah, you have to remember, that's the reason the Jets got him in the first place, to kind of, you know, coerce Aaron to come to the Jets. I mean, it was no coincidence that they just hired Nathaniel Hackett just because, you know, he was the best option out there. I'm sure there's other options they could have, you know, went to instead of Hackett.
They were looking for another option going into the season. I talked about that earlier. They were talking about bringing somebody else in.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you're not going to do that because you don't want to alienate Aaron Rodgers. So that's basically where we are. You know, Aaron Rodgers, he has a, you know, effect on the organization, fairly or unfairly. And then that's his guy. Those two are going to, they're going to ride or die. That's basically what it is. Either they're going to have success after Saleh has, you know, been fired, or they're going to, you know, blow up in flames, and this whole thing is going to get blown up throughout the offseason. So, but he's going to go down swinging with his guy. And I think that's why Hackett continues to be employed by the Jets.
We're on the phone right now with Antoine Staley. He's the Jets beat writer for the New York Daily News. What about Joe Douglas, man? He's another one that is kind of just like in the background, doesn't have to talk too much. But like, Woody went over his head. And I feel like he had to be, I don't know, he had to be blindsided by this. Or was he, we don't know what to believe. But the GM not making a decision, the general manager not making a decision on to fire the coach, and the owner going over his head and putting out the statement and meeting the media, like, isn't that kind of strange to you? Here's the question. Do you think he's safe this year, or do you think he's potentially on the hot seat if the owner's going over his head?
Well, it's a lot. That's a loaded question. Well, I'll say this. Like, nothing's weird. Well, everything's weird when it comes to the Jets. Let me just rephrase that. Having said that, to your point, Joe Douglas is in the final year of his contract. So whether he doesn't have a new contract on the books. So whether or not, you know, he comes back this year or not is still up in the air right now. So, yeah, he is on the hot seat. Yeah. The Jets don't technically have to fire him because his contract's going to run out anyway. So a friend of mine asked me the same thing today, and I told him, basically, they don't want to, I mean, why would you fire Joe Douglas when you're going to have to pay him anyway for this season? You might as well just let it run out, see how this season is, and then that way you can hire a new general manager, and then that general manager can potentially hire a new coach and then get a new quarterback, which I think eventually is what's going to happen with the Jets.
I think so too, Twan. Yo, how about Hassan Reddick? Like, I think Joe Douglas is in trouble just for the way that this Hassan Reddick trade played out. You got Woody crying for him to drive up 95 and join the team. I've never seen anything like this. Like, come on, get in your car. We'll give you an escort into the building. Say what? It's week 5. This guy should have been here.
Man, I was on the conference call. I didn't know whether to start laughing or just feel bad for the situation. I'm like, yo, is this really happening?
And then I tweeted it out. Signal. He sent out a alert, please.
Yeah, like I see less begging on the Keith Sweat record than I see, like, in that conference call today. But all joking aside, yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to, you know, I think Joe Douglas is ultimately going to be judged on a few things. I think that's one of them. I think, obviously, Zach Wilson and the blunder there. And then his decision-making on the offensive line with the Jets, too. I mean, not for nothing, they do have three new starters on the offensive line. But at the same time, it's proven to be ineffective once again. So he's going to, you know, when it's all said and done, his tenure is going to be looked at. Just on those three merits, I believe.
Yeah, it's crazy you mentioned the offensive line. The whole thing talking about the cadence, like they needed to dumb down the cadence. Like, I thought that was ridiculous. That was 2 weeks ago now. But for the head coach to come out there, we're talking about the NFL. We're talking about multi-million-dollar offensive linemen that can't hold their water. They don't know the snap count.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got Tyron. You're familiar with Tyron Smith. You're a Cowboys fan. So, I mean, yeah, he's had his issues there, and then he doesn't look like the same player now. And then not only that, like, he's going offside. You got John Simpson also, you know, not, you know, staying in stance too. And Breece Hall in that game against the Broncos had two false starts. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the cadence necessarily. I think Robert Saleh chose his words very poorly. In regards to that, which also continued to alienate him and Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, that relationship was under a microscope, too, especially with the fake hug, whatever you want to call it, against the Patriots, too. That was very telling, too, because I keep looking at the video. And then clearly Rodgers is agitated by something. You just don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't think he respected the guy. He's 40. This is the end of his career. He's been waiting for this year after what happened last year. Here's the last thing for you. So what happens next? Does Jeff Ulbrich lead this team to victories? Does Aaron Rodgers champ it out and fight through his injuries and show us, you know, he's still got it? Do they trade for Davante Adams? Is there a positive side on this other side, or are they just going to crap out and miss the postseason again?
I think ultimately they are going to miss the postseason. I just think, you know, it's not a lot of precedent for this working when you replace a coach during the middle of the season. The Raiders did it in 21 when John Gruden resigned. I know some people thought he was fired, although he probably would have been. But it technically resigned, and then they had, you know, a coach come in there, and obviously Rich, I forgot the guy's name, but end up coming in and, you know, end up leading them to the playoffs. So, it's not a lot of precedent there. I think Ulbrich is, you know, in a lose-lose situation because I don't think, you know, nothing's getting done to correct the offense that's been inept the last year and a half. So until that changes, yeah, I picked them to finish 9-8. I think they're looking at 7 or 8 wins, to be quite honest with you. And then if they lose to Buffalo, this thing can continue to spiral out of control.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Antoine Staley covering your Jets for the New York Daily News. You're the man, Antoine. I gotta let you know more about my hip-hop prowess. My brother was 10 years older than me, so I was listening to the hip-hop that I wasn't supposed to be listening to when I was young.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll definitely have to trade tracks and stuff like that too, man. But, yeah, good to be on with you, man. Be easy. And I know you're rooting for those Yankees in the playoffs, so I hope the best for you. For you, not the Yankees.
Yo, end the call. Good night. Let him go. Thanks, Twan. 888-808-1019. We'll get some Jets calls in before we get these Mets calls. The Mets add on some more runs. They are rolling, and it's just one of those nights again. Tis the postseason. It's the most wonderful time. KM to AM returns right after this. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.